Everything we're talking about tonight, I feel like, is the apex of our faith. I feel like it's everything that we're talking about tonight is all about, like, what we should all be about. And I was thinking about hands, because we're talking about the hands of Jesus and the things that Jesus was doing in the New Testament, in the Gospels. And then Jesus says, the things that you see me do, you also will do. He says to the apostles, right? And then he places that down to us in today's time. And like, but I was thinking about, like, we do everything with our hands. Maybe that's not a shock to any of you, but I started thinking about this week and I was like, God, we do everything with our hands. Lord, everything we do with our hands. Like, okay, we walk places and we do things with our feet too, you know what I mean? But like everything, like we cut vegetables, we drive our cars. Like, well, some of you have gotten really good driving with your knees and doing your makeup and eating cereal, you know, but like for the most part, it's our hands, you know, like everybody go like this. Can't do that without your hands, man. Like, you need your hands even to wave. Like, we use our hands for everything. And I looked up some idioms, like just phrases, like things that people say, phrases people say about hands. Check out all these, and maybe you can like help me in them, right? Don't let it get out of hand. Like, we say that all the time. Like, do you realize how much we say about our, we don't realize how much we say about our hands. I experienced that first hand. I got my hands full, right? Yeah. What did someone say? We're not going to go there. Anyways, I'm going to try my hand at it. My hands are tied or clean. Yeah, that could have gone that way. But my hands are tied, right? Like, when someone says that, they mean like they can't, there's nothing I can do about it. My hands are tied, right? But when they're saying there's nothing I can do about it, they're talking about your hands do things. Okay, let me go on, because there's a few more that are really good. I know that, like, the back of my hand, what a weird, like, oh, everyone have their hands in here? Because otherwise this could be a little awkward right now. see, that was one of those Wednesday night things. You are the best at that hands, right? Yeah. Oh, I got that second. Don't worry about it. It's in good, like Allstate. Looks like I'm going to have to take my matters into my own. Yeah. We caught you red. Hand, yeah, okay, like it's everywhere. We say these things all the time. We're constantly using our hands. And in the scriptures, in Psalm 24, the Bible says that whoever is going to ascend the mountain of the Lord to be with God has to have clean hands and a pure heart. James says to the Jews that he's writing to, he says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. We know that hands have to do with what we do. And there's things that our hands do that we know they shouldn't. And I think hands can be just another word for life, your life, right? It's what your life is doing. But we're going to look at two passages tonight. But I want you to camp out. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Mark 15, 6 through 24, because we're going to camp out there mostly. But the Gospel of Mark is written to Gentile believers who are now inwardly Jewish. And the way we know that is because a lot of the things in Mark writes a lot about Jewish history, which Jews would have known already. So we know it was written to Gentiles for them to know the gospel and know the Messiah, right? And it really focuses on the sonship of God. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of Man. These are phrases you'll hear throughout the Gospel of Mark, but it's also like, it's like the TikTok, Facebook version of the gospel. It's like, let me just give you all the facts, right? Here's all the facts. In fact, Mark's always going, and immediately Jesus did this, and immediately Jesus did that. So it's a quick, succinct, quick through the gospel, right? And it even starts not with Jesus' birth, not with the very beginning like John does, but it just starts at the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's him going into his ministry, right? So if you have your Bible, turn there to Mark chapter 15, 6 through 24. But first we're going to read Mark 14, 41 through 42. Check this out. And again, he came and found them sleeping. So if you remember, this is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And what does Jesus offer up in the Garden of Gethsemane what does Jesus offer up in the Garden of Gethsemane to the Father? What does he ultimately offer up in that moment? Anybody remember? His will, right? He says, not as I will, but as you will, right? So this is when that's happening. This is when that's taking place. And he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came to them a third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Because there's things that the hands of the Savior do, and there's things that the hands of sinners do. And our Savior was offered up into the hands of sinners. But look, that's you and me. Let's go to Mark chapter 15. 15:6-24. You guys ready? Now at the feast, he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. So this is Jesus before Pontius Pilate, remember? All right? And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, do you want me to release for you the King of the Jews? For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. If you remember, like, Jesus was stirring up the Pharisees of his day. Like, they didn't like him. Remember, like, they were envious of him because people were following after him, right? This still kind of happens today when pastors kind of get upset when you go to another church and they're like, they want to be the guy that you only listen to. It's like, that's ridiculous and stupid, right? But the chief, listen, the only thing we care about in this church is that the people you're listening to are preaching the word of God. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, then what shall I do with the man you call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him. And Pilate said to them, why? What evil has he done? But they shouted all the more, crucify him. So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. But if you remember, Pilate does something in this moment. He washes his hands. He goes, I'm innocent of this man's blood. Now, he wasn't. The name Barabbas means son of the father. Isn't that interesting? A little ironic. But the name Barabbas means son of the father. And so they're going, we'd rather, and if you remember, Jesus says to the Jews, your father, if your father were God, you would want me. But your father's the devil because you're all murderers and you've been murdering from the beginning. He was a murderer from the beginning. Do you remember this when Jesus says this to them? You're of your father, the devil, because you want to do what your father, the devil, wants to do. And who they want released, the true son of the father, is before them. And who are they asking for? They're asking for Barabbas, the murderer, rebellious one. Even in Jesus' death, he's releasing the prisoner. He's setting the captive free, even in his trial. Why did they want Barabbas? Because they were children of the devil. They wanted the son of their father instead of the true son of the father. And Jesus is handed over into the hands of sinners. And they clothed him. And the soldiers led him away inside the, is that where you got? Okay. Inside the place, palace, sorry, that is the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole battalion. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on him. Again, the hands of sinners. And they began to salute him. How do you salute? With your hands. Hail, King of the Jews. And they were striking his head with a reed, and spitting on him and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. And they led him out to be crucified. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from this country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. Now, the reason they mentioned those two names is because they probably were predominant in the church. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. Jesus surrendered his hands for our salvation so that we could surrender our hands to his service. Jesus surrendered his hands for our salvation to cleanse you, right? The blood of Jesus is all about you being cleansed, about your hands being purified, about you becoming a holy nation, a royal priesthood, the people belonging to God, right? That your hands may do what his hands were doing. That you may no longer do with your hands what you want to do with your hands. And listen, when we're in worship, what do we do with our hands? We lift them up. What is that a sign of? Surrender, right? Like we're going, Lord, I'm all in. I'm all in. This is what I'm saying. I wrestle with what I do. And Paul did also. Remember, he said, why do I do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things I want to do? If I do the things I don't want to do, I agree that the law is good. And he's having a moment, right? Paul's having a moment. I mean, you know, if there was ever a time, you ever see like those robots, like you kind of like a twitch, you know, like Paul's got a twitch right in that moment, right? But Jesus, man, Jesus surrendered for his hands for our salvation so we could surrender our hands to his service. Listen to Romans chapter 6, verses 6 through 12. We know that our old self was crucified with him. So you were, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you were crucified with him. Like, and what does crucifixion mean? It means that you what? You die. You don't live, right? So, you know, what that's a picture of is you dying with him, right? So you've been crucified. When you put your faith and trust in him and you were baptized into Christ, you were crucified with him. That our old self was crucified with him in order that the old body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also, in the same way, just like Christ offered himself to God and he's alive unto God, so you also must consider yourselves dead to sin. Why? Because you died with Jesus. You died with Jesus. Like, this isn't figurative. Like, this isn't... Listen, man. You want to know why we don't see miracles as much in America as you do in other places? It's because we are so focused on the material. We're so focused on science, on what can be proven, on, you know what I mean? Did someone just say Tylenol? Okay, so I heard that right. I mean, yeah, okay, but like, but like we're focused on all these things, right? And so we look at verses like this, and we go, well, we couldn't have literally been crucified with Jesus. And I just want to challenge you on that and be like, why not? You know what I mean? What if it means exactly what it's saying? Like, not figurative. Like, we read this verse and we go, oh, well, yeah, okay, in some, like, way we were crucified with Jesus, you know? Like, it's like, no, like, when you were baptized into Christ, you were baptized into his death. Like, you died with him. Your old self died with him. That's why you suffer an identity crisis when you sin as a Christian, because that's not your identity anymore. When you get pulled over by a police officer Everything in your body, maybe it's just me, but everything in your body tenses. I get really freaked out at police officers. Mark, I'm sorry, I know you're a former police officer, but I get really freaked out at police. I just don't, I like them, but I get like, what did I do wrong? Like, I have my seatbelt on, like that's good. You know, like I go through the list of things. But why do I do that? It's because I'm a citizen of America, I'm a citizen of America, and I know what the laws are here. So when I get pulled over, what's the first thing they ask me for? My license and registration. What is my license? And what's that say to them? And it tells them, hey, bro, you've been through this thing to get this license that tells us you know what the heck you're doing. So why'd you do that? Because it doesn't match up with who this says that you are. So when you sin, the Holy Spirit comes to you and gut checks you and goes, hey, that's not who you are anymore. You can't be like them anymore. And we're for them. We're just not of them anymore. But man, bad habits die hard. 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this. And remember, the whole thing tonight is Jesus surrendered his hands for our salvation so that we could surrender our hands to his service. Because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who, for their sake died and was raised. So Jesus died so that we who live will no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died for us. Amen? Listen, we got to wake up. We got to wake up. The church has got to wake up. In America, we have for too long. Listen, if this is your Christian experience, if your Christian experience is just this, man. Look, and I know it's Wednesday night, I know that you guys are like more spiritual than other people because you actually come here on Wednesday night. And everyone else is like, I'll see you maybe two Saturdays out of the month or Sundays out of the month. But like, if your Christianity is just going to church, like it's just coming in here, sitting down, singing songs, you know what I'm saying? If your hands aren't surrendered to his service, I'm not just talking about here. Like, look, we need more people serving at church for sure. But like, who have you loved lately? Like, who have you been the hands and feet to? Remember Jesus said, if you do it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And he's using your hands to be his hands to them. Galatians 2:20, Paul says this, I have been crucified with Christ. That's not figurative, man, it's literal. Paul's saying, I have been crucified with Christ. Not that I think it happened or it's a figurative thing or like, no, I have been this. This is me. This is my experience. Crucified Christ is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live, now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He did it, now I do it. He did it, now I do it. He did it, now I do it. He surrendered his will to the Father, now I surrender my will to the Father. He surrendered, now I surrender. And I think we have to honestly ask ourselves, is Christ living in me? Because we can quench the Spirit. And we can gut check the Spirit of God. Remember when Peter rebukes Jesus? Do you know how crazy that is to me? Like Jesus is like, I'm going to Jerusalem to be crucified. And it literally says, the word says, he rebuked Jesus. Have you ever rebuked God? Has God ever said to you, I have something for you to do? And you were like, not me, Lord. That's you rebuking me. That's you going, I don't want to do what you want me to do. Man, we rebuke Jesus all the time. We're like, not me, not today, surely not, Lord. Now, we don't look at it like that. But it's what we're doing. It's what Peter did. Peter's like, don't say that, Lord. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says this. For by grace you've been saved through faith. So this is what God is doing. God is saving you by grace through faith. And God is giving, listen, God is giving you the grace and the faith to believe. When you've heard the gospel, God in that moment was coming to that moment and giving you what you needed to believe. Amen? And he gives that to everyone who hears the gospel. Some people receive it and some people reject it. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so no one may boast. So not as a result of what you've been doing with your hands, not as a result of what you can do, but as a result of what he can do. For we are his workmanship. So we're like, Jesus was a carpenter. He worked with his hands, right? And now he's molding you into his image. He's fastening you into his workmanship to look like him. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, what you do, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in. What is the work that God is calling you to do right now in your life? Like, what is that work? I can't answer that for you. Only you can answer that question. But what is the work that God is calling you to do in your life? What is the thing that he's going, this? Because I guarantee you, there's someone that God is calling you to love right now. There's something God's calling you to do, and you have been shutting your ear off to it. I know that because I do it. Maybe you're better than me, man. Wouldn't shock me. I'm not that great. But like, there's something God is calling you to do that he's only calling you to do. What is it? Be obedient. By this we know love. 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to what? Lay down our lives for the brothers. He did it, now we do it. He did it, we do it. He did it, we do it. Like, Jesus didn't die on the cross for us to come in here, be comfortable Christians, walk around like we got it all figured out, right? Like, he didn't die on the cross for us not to live lives that are radically different than the world around us. Like, he didn't die for you so you could just look like the world and say you know him. Listen, look, this is a hard message because it's not fluffy. It just is what it is. Like, it's time for you to do business with God. It's time for us as a church, as the people of God, to do business with God and to get real about our faith. And I know a lot of you in this room are real about your faith. I know that. But can't we do better? Like, I mean, who in here, show of hands, thinks they're killing it right now? Muslims have to memorize the entire Quran to be a Muslim. They have to memorize it. How much scripture do you know? If they can do that for a false god, what does that say about us who have the living God? Jehovah's Witnesses go door to door every weekend to tell people about a false Jesus. When was the last time you talked to your neighbor? Like, think about what, and we have the real thing. Which is why I think one of the greatest distractions that the enemy has ever hoisted upon Christianity is that people don't want to hear you tell them about Jesus. That's a lie straight from the pit of hell, man. I know that because I talk to people about Jesus. And they're interested. They haven't always been. But we're living in a season where people are wondering. People are searching. People are seeking. People want to know. When was the last time you invited a friend to church? When was the last time you, who's your one? Who's one person right now in your life that God is asking you just to pray for that doesn't know him? God's not asking you to go after the multitude. He's just asking you, just one. One. If each one of us in this church reached one person for Jesus, we have about 2,000 people that come to this church. If each one of us, we'd be a 4,000 person church. And it's not about numbers. I'm just saying. Look at the room. A lot of empty chairs. And look, people say if you invite, look, I've invited a lot of people. I get it. Maybe you've invited a lot of people and they just haven't shown up. I've done that myself. I invite people all the time and they don't show up. So I get it. But like, someone will. I believe someone will. But if people are willing to, look, we have brothers and sisters around the world who are literally laying down their lives for Jesus. Like, they're literally being persecuted, beaten, and you and I are afraid to have someone say something negative about us. Do you realize how crazy that is? Do you realize how stupid it is to be afraid to open your mouth because you're afraid of what someone else might say? We have brothers and sisters who are not, who open their mouths and are being beaten for it. Man, we're weak. We're weak. And look, I'm not here to beat you up. I mean, maybe it feels that way. I'm beating myself up along with you. But do you really want more of Jesus? Do you, listen, strip everything away, everything away. Do you just want him? Do you just want him? Because there's coming a time when everything else is going to be gone. Your wife, your husband, your kids, your health. And if he's not everything you want, you're going to be holding on for dear life to the things that you will never be able to hold on to forever. There's only one person you'll be able to hold on to like that, and it's him. It's him. So who cares what people say about you? Who cares what your friends say about you? Who cares if you get beaten? Who cares if you die? Do you know what I'm saying? You're going to be with him. But if anyone has the world's goods, that's America, which, listen, we do great as a church giving to missions. We do great as a church giving to things. So I'm not saying, like, we might have this one okay a little bit, but we, even here we could do better. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? And I'm not saying the things you can't do. Like, if you don't have any money on you and someone's asking you for money, you can't give them what you don't have. You know what I mean? God's only asking you to give what you can give, not what you can't give. So let's just, right? Because it helps a little bit. Because I think we can all feel a little, like, bad about that, right? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this, we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before him. How do we reassure our hearts before him? By the love that we show towards one another in our deeds, in our deeds. Listen, our hands do a lot of things. But he surrendered. Listen, Jesus surrendered his hands for our salvation. The question is, will we surrender our hands for his service? Are we all in? Father, Jesus, forgive us, Lord, for the times that we have made this about other things. As you came to cleanse us and to rescue us from sin and death. And Lord, if we really believe that, Lord God, wouldn't our lives look radically different? Lord, may we be willing to surrender our hands, Lord, to your service, God. For you gave your all. You gave everything for us, Lord. Jesus, may we rid ourselves of this scientific, physical mindset where we don't see the glories and the beauty of everything else that's going around us, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord God, to see you, Lord, to see you working in everything that you've made, Lord, to see the spiritual realm around us, Lord God, to understand that you are working people's lives in ways that we can never fathom or imagine. Lord, help us to go after one person, Lord, that we can pray for and talk to and lead to you, God. Let us pursue you, Lord. For, Lord, the lost world around us needs you, Jesus. They need you, God. Forgive us for making this anything else than about you. Cleanse our hands, Lord, that we may climb to the mountain and be with you, Lord. Through Christ's death and his resurrection, cleanse us by his blood, that we may be a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for your service, Lord. For we ask it all to your glory, King Jesus. Amen. Let's go love people.